Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. To create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here. Hello and welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. I'm your host, and as I also like to say, co-pilot, and the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room is the co-host. Welcome guests that are coming in. I know it's 4th of July, but I just had to be here for a little bit. So get comfortable. Those of you that are new to the program, welcome. It's always great to connect with everyone here. If you would like to call in for a reading, the number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. And that lets me know that you want to be heard, you want to get on air, and you want to share or ask questions or get readings. And, of course, at 1245, we have one of our awakened guests, someone on the path and wanting to share. And today we have Scott Killaby. And he's going to be talking about living relationship. You can find out more information at livingrealization.org or killaby.com. And it's killoby.com. Okay. All right. So we do have, I see a Skype caller. Welcome. If you do have a question or a comment, press 1 on the keypad to get on air. Some of you know we've been doing where and how you listen to Awakenings. We're continuing that for the rest of July. And you can email me at awakenings@selfinlight.com. And just let us know where you listen to Awakenings. How do you listen? Are you on iTunes? Is it archives? Is all of the above? Is it live? Is it while you're skateboarding, while you're vacuuming, cleaning house? Is it while you're walking with your baby somewhere, maybe, you know, in the little kiddie park or something? Is it while you're surfing? Just let us know where and how you listen to Awakenings, and that's by emailing awakenings@selfinlight.com. Also, I want to let everyone know that to get the solar news, I had started with a collaborator, colleague of mine, Jennifer Kelly Matu. We had started Conscious Inspired Living a couple years ago. And that ended up morphing into something else. It was a great way. It launched a lot of people. It really was a great conscious media-inspired magazine, online magazine. It was really, really, really great, and we did some great interviews, features, have some great, great contributors. But then it's kind of morphed because I had to decide, do I really, really want to go into publishing, you know, and assisting others and launching others, which I love doing that. I still will continue to do that in various ways. Or getting useful tools out for the shift, for ascension, for the soul path. And so it morphed into solar news. Maybe some of you remember from Conscious Inspired Living, I had the solar updates. I had what was going on a solar level monthly. So that morphed into the solar news or solar newsletter, which you can also get on board with that and receive that in your inbox. And that is also by emailing awakenings@selfinlight.com, and that will get you on the list and keep you up to date to groups, workshops. I do the divine downloads, so things as the shift is happening, also the energy for the month, what's going on, kind of giving a heads up. It's a wonderful way for feedback, music that I hear that is inspiring, or things just I want to share or pass on. And also some of the things that are also going on, of course, with Awakening. So it's a wonderful way to keep in contact. And again, that's awakenings@selfinlight.com, as well as you can connect on the Awakenings Radio, Facebook, of course, and Twitter at Michelle Mache. That's my Twitter handle. So, okay, we're going to get into, I do see callers getting online. If you do want to get on air and chat, I'd love to hear from you. Press 1 on your keypad, or I might just pick up the phone. I might just, it's one of those days, right? It's in the U.S. here, it's 4th of July. It's kind of chill. I almost missed the show because I was working out, doing my weights and on Pilates and dancing. And I'm like, oh, my God, the show is about to start. Oh, I got to get going. Okay, so before we get to callers and we dive in, I want to we're going to do a talk all about quiet power. I'm going to talk a little bit about what's aspecting us. Still, the highlight is relationship. So we're going to dive in to that as well. I got a wonderful email by Silvana who says, hope you're doing great, Michelle. I've been listening to your Awakening show for a while, and I love it. I love your guests, and I love hearing your readings, so thank you for all you do. For her, she listens to a download from iTunes on her iPod and does it while she's washing the dishes. I can't stand washing the dishes without listening to something that will uplift me and teach me something. You can do that. That's still being in the moment. That's still totally being in the moment. You can do a few things. It's having that awareness of being in the moment. So you're still being in the moment. And then there's Kim, who also emailed, and she had called in last week for the first time and said she checks her phone about 101 times until I see the new podcast come up. I pick the best time to listen, which for me is late at night when I get in bed after a long day and I'm very tired. I fall asleep with it in my ear, so it's permeating my spirit as I sleep. Then I get up in the morning and think to myself, wow, that was a good show. And then in parentheses, really, I do. And then I listen to the show again all the way through while I'm fully awake. I know it sounds weird, but this is the way I like to listen to it. It works for me. I love it. You're getting subconsciously marinating in Awakenings Radio and consciously. So you're getting a hit both ways. So that's just a couple examples of where and how you listen to Awakenings. We're going to be doing a giveaway for everyone that emails us and lets us know where and how you listen to Awakenings. So for that, or guest suggestions, or if you want me to cover things on air, just email me at awakenings@selfinlight.com. And let's see, we've got somebody here. I'm going to at the doggy park. I know who this is. Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear? Hi, Laura, you're on air.
Oh, I am?
Yeah, you are. How are you?
Happy
4th of July.
Were you hearing me yell at my dog the whole time?
No, I can't. No, you're just on air now.
Oh, okay.
So you're at the dog park. So how's your 4th happy? I think this is going to be a very lax show, but hopefully people call in. I'll do some readings, and I'm going to be talking about relationships, and then our guest is going to be talking about living relationships. So relationships seems to be the theme.
Oh, good.
What do you know? Yeah, are you noticing anything in the shift at the part of the path we're on right now?
Yeah, everything about relationships, like what you're saying, like friends, the clients, the way I work, the way I live my life, like relationships with myself, everything. Like
it's changing.
Everything. Like, yeah. Big clearing out, making room, coming new things coming in.
Yeah. I feel that as well. I think there is a major clearing out right now that's happening. I think that there's a purge physically. I feel people are doing with their habits, their diet, their routine, their patterns are changing, especially sleep patterns are changing. Mm-hmm. So there's I think a lot of clearing out, and then a lot of clearing out on a relationship level. I think a lot of bubbles are being busted, you know?
Yeah, that's big. I mean, on all levels. Yeah.
It's huge. What people thought was going to happen isn't happening. Or what people... You know, a lot of disappointment, clearing the air, you know, really clearing. I think there's a lot of clearing the air that's going on. And you see that in your work that you do. I mean, you work a lot with people. You transformation coach, Lori. Those of you that are listening, Lori Bregman is joining us. And she's got an amazing program, Rooted for Life. You can find out more about it at rootedforlife.com. How would you describe what you do? Because you are helping a specific group of people. You have all kinds of people. I know you do a transformational yoga and healing class and course as well. But you also do a lot with parenting.
Yeah, well, I have a pregnancy program, like a holistic pregnancy program, that it's like a body, mind, spirit support through the transition from fertility to pregnancy, birth, into motherhood. And I do everything from nutrition to life coaching, pregnancy coaching, holistic remedies, doula work, massage, yoga. I mean, it's a whole overall support system. I take people through the whole journey. And support them. And the most important thing is helping them find their truth, whatever that may be, and supporting them in it.
I was just going to ask you what you felt was most important. What do you feel gets most in the way of perhaps new mothers, new parents to be, I guess?
Well, I feel that society and everybody projects their own opinions onto them. And the biggest thing is, I think as women, we're so intuitive and we kind of know what feels right. So really helping them find what that is and supporting them and empowering them in that decision instead of, you know, it's scary and everybody just wants to do the right thing. And so what might be right for another might not be right for you. So that's the big thing that I see, that women are so hard on other women, I find. And if you ever go in these like mommy chat groups, and all these people want to support. So instead of, you know, not making them, just trying to make them feel better, you know, and supporting them in their decision. If they want a natural birth or an epidural, or if they, you know, just making them more aware and conscious, giving them tools for that, suggestions, and then they take what they take.
Do you find people, were you saying people are supportive or not? They're hard, right? You're saying a lot of times they're hard.
No, I think there's a lot of support, and then there's a lot of people that they're so, you know, they believe in their way so strongly that they don't stop and put themselves in somebody else's shoes before projecting their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you know what? It sounds like just even the life path in a way that people need to. Just be supportive, because our path is, though there are similar, and I would imagine this is the same in the work that you do, is that there's basics or there's a foundation that you have to cover, but then from that it's so individual.
Right.
Right, is it?
Exactly. Exactly. And everything I do and suggest to people, it's tailor-made to the person. And, you know, and really help them find what's right for them, and then give them the tools to support them in that choice, I guess, is the best way, you know?
To give them the tools for what works individually.
Well, where they're at, what they're choosing to do, how they're choosing to do it, that kind of thing.
I love it. Well, I love it. That's, anyway, we've little chat with Lori Bregman from Rooted for Life. That's rootedforlife.com. And I think you have an amazing program. And What inspired you to go in that direction anyway? Was it just a love?
No, I've always been drawn to working with pregnant women, and I didn't know how. I mean, I didn't know why. Everything I was ever taught, I kept thinking, how can I gear this towards pregnancy? And then actually, I did a hypnotherapy session with you, I guess, like 12 years ago. And a lot of my wounds that you and I were working on came, we found out in the hypnotherapy session, it was coming from me being in the womb. And you helped me, you know, clear some of that. And then I realized that my greatest wound turned out to be my greatest gift, because if I had not gone through what I went through, I wouldn't be doing the work in the world that I'm doing now. And use a lot of the healing that I've done in my work.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing how our wound ends up being something that we later use to help others as well, you know?
Yeah.
If we stick with the healing.
Mm-hmm.
I think is a bit key. Well, I'm glad you connected. Do you have anything you want to share? You want to ask a question or anything?
I don't really have a question. I mean, could you just give, like, since you're doing readings, are you doing readings right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Just kind of like, what do you see that I should be focusing on in my life right now?
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
I mean, I don't really have a specific question, but like,
that's kind of specific because people call in. I always say you got to ask a question, and it gets you involved. I do feel a lot with the career, but I do feel something new is coming in, and I feel that you're one of the bigger things. I feel is the scheduling, and you are going to have more space, and I do feel you going in a different direction. With friends, with goals, with activities, somehow your routine is going to be changing. And you might feel like you have more space. I don't know if you're feeling that time or like blocks of space in the day.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I think this whole year I've been clearing out space. So
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of looking at how I want to fill it. Yeah.
Yeah, I do see you working differently too. I don't know. There seems to be, and let's see if I can get a little clearer with the guides, because it's like I see you in the center, and then I see your life before you was very hectic and packed, and I see where you're at now, and even I think where you're calling from, there's a lot of space. You're in a lot of space, but it does show. You're going to need that space or that downtime because something and someone new is coming in. I even feel you're going to be working differently somehow. And the guides are saying it is going to be a leap of faith. It is going to be some trust. So you're either going to let go of something, one piece of what you're working with, or that's part of it, and or a change. I do feel – now, you put programs together. Are these – written or video or is there something with like video conferencing coming in for you as well, or videos of some sort? Where you may not be able to something for when the people that are not close to you or near you somehow working more also remotely. So there still is a lot with the one-on-one in these groups and going in, obviously, with the mothers and helping that. But it does show, Lori, I feel video of some sort. There's something, it could even be a DVD. There is something that somebody is going to help you want to package and put together. And I even see you having to write it out. It's like a program or like a curriculum, you know, or it could be a... you know, this is a synopsis, this is the outline. It's going to be kind of this is almost like writing a script, like this is now what we're going to do this and we're going to cover this. Or, mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to talk about this or we're going to show this. And it's interesting, I've never seen this before with you. So there is something new. Deck clearing the decks, and, you know, and I'm saying this is reflects to a lot of people as well. If you're feeling space right now in your life, and you don't quite know what to do with it or fill with it, or you're going, oh, I'm kind of bored, what do I do? Or go outside, go for a walk, or what do I do? Or what do I do with this downtime? What I can say is don't do anything. Something is trying to come up into it. Something is trying to come into the space. And I do feel, and I even see something with a particular hospital or a clinic. So I don't know if they're sponsoring you. I can even see you covering the birth room. So I don't know if it's like how to personalize the birth room. There's something with the video. And I do see a whole series. And I do see more media work. It's media work around you.
I've been asked to do some videos by this website I write for, and we just haven't gotten it together, but it is going to be, like you said, like covering the birth room and, you know.
Oh, how to, so that how is going to happen then. Oh, okay. How to do what?
Just, I mean, whatever, like holistic remedies for different ailments, just a bunch of different things. I mean, it's all under my Rooted for Life. It would be a series. We just haven't gotten it together yet.
Oh, so it is. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I am seeing something that is going to come into play then.
Okay.
It's definitely going to happen. And there is going to be some kind of sponsorship. It is going to put you in a whole new light or a whole new direction, though. I feel that you're the one-on-one that you're doing is to get all the experience so that you can talk about it and also put it in the in the videos. But I see more magazine stuff. I see more question and answer. A lot to do with video and DVD series. I do feel a book is also coming down the road.
Yeah.
Now, please go to her website, rootedforlife.com. I don't want to scare anybody, but I do feel at some point you're not going to be working as much one-on-one with people. So everybody get her while you can. I feel that you're going to be doing more of this series. You know,
oh, cool. No, and that's why I want to do the book and that kind of thing to affect, you know, to get more to
the next
more
thing
people.
Is the DVD, and the other thing I do feel is there definitely is a relationship, you know, more of a romantic, you know, partnership, live-in, engagement, marriage. And I do see you will. Some of these I do see a child, so you will be also. To the tail end of this, the series, with child as well, and talking about your own experience and like documenting it. Someone's going to help you with this. I feel two huge people around you. Somebody is already in video as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see their face. I don't know their name, but I know their name, but I don't want to mention. There's going to be two people that majorly help you in this, and one of them has a lot to do with fitness. It is going to be moving more into some inner stuff, kind of inner spirit or more of a mind-body connection due to their own transformation. So I do feel it may be somebody gets a deal. I don't know if it's a development deal and they want to bring you in on some things, or they interview you, or you do a segment with them, or they're developing their own videos. But it's going to, Lori, what I see, it's almost like, you know, kind of back in the old times on TV or on stage, when somebody was too long on the stage, the hook came out and pulled him. I see you pulled in a new direction. It's like you're going, and you do a little bit of this new stuff, a little bit, and then it's yank. Wow. And that's why you're clearing house, by the way. And that's why all the space, because there's going to be a lot of new types of people around you. Executives. I feel a lot of executives, people in the media, a lot of business kind of stuff around you. And I know you're around a lot of healer. I mean, you're around a lot of business people as well, especially your clients, but this is you in the meetings, you having to deal with, I can hear you saying to me, well, I had to speak up. I had to say, no, this is how I envision or how I want to do. I mean, they asked me, I have to say. So you are going to be just kind of rerouted in a whole new direction.
Oh, cool. And when do you see that kind of, is it happening now or?
It's not far off. I feel, and this I feel for a lot of people, by the way, you know, if you've been doing the clearing work, if you've been clearing and getting clear and you didn't jump into something or out of something, you'll have some relief and new direction October, November on. So I want to say they might be talking to you end of August, September about it. It's going to be a rush. The first ones, it may be they want to do something for the holidays or something. The first couple I feel is like, hurry up, like, oh, God, we do it now, and you're going to feel like it's not perfect or this or that. And then I do see them saying, oh, you've got to log in and answer questions, or they have comments, you know, on the video blog. You've got to answer some questions. And you're going to do it a little bit, and you're going to be traveling, you're going to be doing your work and other steps, you're going to be juggling it. and sort of into it, but not really into it. And then more next year, I feel like, boom, it's like contracts signed, blah, 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 in a whole new direction.
Oh, cool.
And a lot more time in Colorado, by the way. I feel a little bit in New York, but something's drawing you to Colorado.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, I've been craving to go there.
Colorado, Colorado, Colorado.
Well, thank you,
yeah.
Michelle.
Yeah,
yeah,
thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Stay on the line. You have another question?
I'm staying
you
on.
Share anything? You get a little epiphany? Let me just...
Okay.
Let me check back. I see a couple of other callers, an 808-497 and a Skype. I may pick up the phone. Hey, Todd. Nice to see some other Healing Vortexes in the chat. Nice to see you guys. Nice to see all of the guests listening. Hello, Todd. New Light. Oh, what you're saying in the chat. I signed up for the Daily Om course. It's great. Woo, yes. I wish I could take all the lessons at one time or have them on MP3 to listen to on the go. They don't let you do that. Well, I'm coming out with a different version of my Daily Om course because the title implies that it's really focused on 2012, and that's like a smidgy, such a small part. And big hug to you, Todd. Great to see people here. It's nice. I know it's a holiday. What was I thinking? But I'd love to be here with everyone, and it's only an hour and a half. So I'm glad that everybody's here. So look for, actually, we have a listener that's helping me, Sherry. I can't think of how to pronounce her last name, but Sherry, I do love you, is going to be helping me do some online courses or teleseminars, teleconferences, because I really want, and Lori's been part of the group. Oh, maybe I'll get her back on air. Lori, we're really clearing some major stuff using the subtle energy. Lori, you're back on the air.
Hi.
I'm talking now about the group, the workshops we've been doing. And
oh, yeah, they've been so amazing.
How would you just, because we're working with the subtle energy, so I've got a wonderful listener participant is now going to help me do teleconferences or webinars, whatever you want to call them. So I can do these now online with people virtually so that they'll be getting
the same
clearing for using the subtle energy. So really excited.
Yay.
Yay. Okay. All right. I won't pester you. I'll talk to you later.
I'm still listening now.
Okay. So I am going to be taking that Daily Om course and doing something of a multimedia focus of it, so it can be downloadable. Probably like a multimedia ebook or something. So New Light, you will have something to listen on the go because it's just, if I do say so myself, it's amazing. It's really a handbook for the new emerging consciousness, for the new paradigm. It goes into not only intuition, reinforcement, development, psychic, knowing your soul's purpose, how to align what the soul alignment is, ascension, how to work with the new energies, what kind of energy pattern are you? Are you an initiator, a generator? How to use your energy, how to get with others. I go through the universal laws, law of resonance, law of magnetic attraction, conscious creation, loving law of allowance, but how to use these, really to harness the new focus. And I keep saying this to everyone, forget about the law of magnetic attraction. That's going to happen anyway. Focus on resonance, the law of resonance. This is why you see so much coming out right now about your signature frequency pattern, your energetic matrix, your tone. In fact, Wednesday the 18th of this month, we'll have Sound Healer on. A couple weeks ago we had Ellen Howarth on talking about RA music and the different frequencies and healing frequencies. There's a woman that is amazing. She's has a medical background, and also Todd, this would be right up your alley. And also she is a musician, singer, healer. She healed herself. Her leg was supposed to be amputated. She worked with frequencies for the bone. And it took her 2 years, but the bone knitted back together. as you know, we had Stephen Hawking on Hawking's on at one point. Also, he, of course, talks about frequency, tone, vibration, sound, music healing. Why are these so important? And, you know, because that is how the soul manifests. It's all through resonance. It's simple, you guys. If you're in resonance, you're going to attract what you need to attract. That's what the law of magnetic attraction is. You can't use the law of magnetic attraction. It's a receptivity that you get into. And how do you get into that is through resonance. By being in resonance with your soul design, which resonance is a type of harmony. You think of singers, you think of a choir, you think of symphony, you think of musicians even in a band. They're not all playing exactly the same notes, but they are able to harmonize, right? So we're not going to all be ideally the same, exactly the same. It's not about that. It's about harmonizing with our environment, and part of that is people, relationships. So that's why so many people are releasing relationships right now, is because they're no longer, there's no longer enough resonance. A lot of people kind of make the mistake that they think, oh, if I'm getting people that are in resonance with me, then they're going to be exactly like me, or they're going to be the same, or we're going to like the same, or there's not going to be any argument or disagreement. And it's like, no, it's kind of like, can't we all get along? Can't we be, you know, get along in our differences and work things out? So it's about harmonizing, and that is from the harmonic conversion. What's Todd saying? Wow, miracle of love and faith itself. Yeah, I can't wait to have her on, actually, because she actually called in. She called in as a listener. She's been listening to the show for, I think, a few years. And she called in to talk to Alan Howarth and explain what she'd been doing with his the Raw Music. And I'll put that in the chat, rawmusic.com. There's a transformer there to transform the music from whatever it is to, I think, 424 hertz or something. And he's working on, he's not only working on transforming to different than not just to 424 hertz, but also tuning forks, healing. Let's see. Todd saying, give is the key, giving the frequency. Set the frequency others can tune up. It is to give, give. Yeah. Seem to be attracting more like-minded people these days. Yeah, now, you will be attracting like-minded individuals, and part of that is it's not to isolate, but we are meant to come together. You know, one of my metaphysical teachers used to say we incarnate as bunches of grapes. Similar, that's the analogy she would use. And it's true, we all have a soul tribe. We all come in with various soul mates. Some of them are local, some of them are other dimensional, some of them are, we meet them virtually, you know, now through the internet, et cetera. So, in Awakenings Radio and other, you know, outlets or social, you know, media, that the Ethernet, what? The Ethernet, we meet them in the ethers, there's a connection. So, what's happening as we're ascending, we're connecting more to the group aspect that we are. We've gone as far as we can on the individual aspect, the individualized. We have expressed that idea of separating out or separation, which some call the original sin, but it's really original separation, the separating out from the source energies, becoming individuated aspects of the all that is. So now we're in going back up into the collective. So it's really important right now that you get around community, people that you feel a connection with to some degree. Now, they're not going to be ideal. I mean, I had someone tell me the other day, oh, well, I've outgrown these people, or I'm not as close to these people. I can tell you there are people that I haven't been around or hung out with for a while that now all of a sudden we're hanging out more. And we're not exactly the same, you know, but we are aligned in certain areas. And the reason being is because the more you allow yourself to expand your groups, your social groups, your community. You'll have a base community that supports you. I would say my base community is probably people who are very into art, music, active, go out dancing, do yoga, you know, or meditate, hiking, biking, health food stores. So you're going to have your base. And then there's going to be people that weave in and out. But every time you're connecting with other people, your soul is getting, and your heart chakra, by the way, the Anahata Center, the seat of the soul, is getting stimulated, is getting tingled, it is being enriched, enlivened. It's, you're raising your vibrational frequency. So you don't want to limit yourself right now. You don't want to just say, oh, I'm spiritual, so I only do this, or I only eat this, or I only go here. Follow the resonance. What feels enlivening? What's opening that you feel like, oh, I want to try that, or I want to experience that, or I like doing that. You know, I like drawing. I like painting. I like listening to music. You'll find that you're going to be experiencing more situations of art, music, connecting, creative expression, self-expression, because that is the arena of the soul. So we're all meant to extend out and connect with, you know, have our base community, if you will, kind of like base camp, and then various communities that we weave in and out of. But we're not meant to do it alone. This is the thing. This is the time of isolating is over. Okay, we have a call, 310-339. Let's see.
Yes.
Hello, welcome to Awakenings. Hello.
Hi. My friend Lori Bregman told me to call.
Oh, great.
No, she's fabulous.
Oh, great. She is amazing. Just what's your first name?
Julie.
Hi, Julie. I'm Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. And I've heard a lot about you.
Oh, good.
So I'm very excited.
Good. Now, do you have a question or a comment or anything you want to share?
She just texted me, so I question everything.
You just want to listen. Okay. So you're listening.
So
you're
whatever
listening.
Comes to you.
Yeah.
I just started listening, so.
Very cool. Keep listening. Well, one thing I can tell with you, just tuning in briefly just as you're coming in, which is a perfect topic, I do feel somehow your sphere of your social connections, networks, your social and/slash career is opening up more, and I do feel something entrepreneurial around you. So I don't know if you're developing something, a new business or something, new focus, but that you're also expanding your horizon. So perfect topic for you to tune into.
Excellent. I heard the last part of your last topic, so expanding the horizons. Yes, on both accounts.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, and variety is key for you. Variety and communication, being able to communicate, maybe even working within the communication field or something to do with communication, broadcasting, getting your message out, your thoughts out.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I have a new puppy, and he's biting his bed, his brand new bed.
Cute.
What about relationship-wise? I'm always questioning that.
Yeah, well, that seems to be coming part of the new horizon. Let's see, it's saying. Now, did you recently move, or are you thinking of moving? They're showing a move around you.
Nope,
not yet. Okay. Not even office? Boy, it's showing locale change. Or you go,
no.
Or you're, wait a minute, hold on, Julie.
I always romance the idea of hitting the lottery and moving to the beach.
Oh, well, maybe that's it. Well,
but that's just a romance.
No, you know what it is? He's in a different circle. It does show you meeting somebody, and I feel there could be very earthy, grounded energy, maybe kind of Taurus, kind of a funny.
I'm attracted to Taurus, man.
Oh, are you? Well, yeah, he's got a lot of Taurus energy, but fun. I feel he's not yet around you. He's in a different. So you're going somewhere. And you're going to contemplate. It's funny you said coast, but I feel somehow north of you. And it's going to be. It might be. I sure if it's Malibu, beach, flip-flop. I see you kind of casually dressed. You've got coffee or tea, something, and you're with some other people. You're going to meet somebody out and about, and you guys are really going to hit it off. And then he's wondering, should I ask for the number? Do I do this, or maybe I'll see her again? Very typical Taurus, you know, not jumping in anything. And then you're thinking that too. I can see somebody saying, "Oh, go back, or give it to, or let him know, or something." I can't tell if they're telling you to go back to talk to him, or you get something, or you go back and get something extra, because you leave the cashier and you're walking back, and then you guys talk again. And I can hear him saying, "Oh, I was going to ask your number. Are you around? Are you around this weekend?"
Interesting.
So it's kind of, it's going to be out of area. It's not going to be in the area that you normally hang out at.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons, the widening of your circle.
May I go back to the business for a moment?
Yes.
There is an idea that I've been thinking about, and thinking about collaborating with somebody else. It's the only thing that I can think of that may be what you were talking about. Is it something I should go ahead with? Do you get a good feeling about it?
Well, it shows something entrepreneurial around you. It shows you're not quite sure about this person, though.
Right.
And I actually feel there's going to be a couple of people. I don't know that it's this person. I feel there is something you're going to do. And I don't feel one other person. I feel there's going to be three. You, someone else, and either an assistant or intern or somebody that's helping. But I feel for you, you've got this October to the end of the year kind of Scorpio, a little bit Libra, but I would say more Scorpio Sag time. I see you saying, "That's it. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get this going." Because I see you expanding your horizon, not just socially, but on a business level. And it is something that you either putting your own money in, could be backing. But I see a chunk of it's going to require some money to get it off the ground, is what I'm hearing. Was one of the people you were looking at to helping you with this a guy?
Now that you mention it, there is a guy who has talked to me about possibly, if I were interested in doing something, he'd consider backing.
That's the one. Okay. I like his energy more than the other one. I think the other one is not ready yet. But 'cause, and that might be the third, that maybe he's the silent partner. You know, there's three. It's not going to be one other person. There's three is the component to getting it off the ground. It is showing that it will be successful, and it'll get you in a whole nother arena.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And I know I don't want to take up all your time, but I have one more quick question as far as friendships and the social arena. When I question authenticity, do I just listen to my intuition?
Yes. And here's the thing. I always ask for confirmations, and I like asking. I'll even ask for 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 confirmations. Because we can, you know, I can't tell you how many people I get saying, "I know that this is going on," you know, because our emotions sway things.
Yes.
But if something keeps coming up. Yeah. And the one way that you can know is if you think of two situations or two people or two directions, or it could be more than two, but let's just keep it simple and do with two. Notice which one, when you kind of get calm, you just slow the breath down, you kind of clear your mind. Notice which one your body leans towards, if you can do this with food, or which one you start feeling a little more energy, even if it's slight. If you do this a lot, you'll feel it more. Like I could do it with foods or people, or I do it, do I go out, do I do this or not? And if I feel like I'm getting enlivened, the energy is enlivening me, or my body starts leaning towards one, I know that that's the one that's going to be life-enhancing. I don't know how totally, but my body mind, my body wisdom is letting me know that this direction is life-enhancing. And that's working with the soul energy.
Okay.
Never do a story. I had, just to give everybody a quick example, I had a client of mine that I was having do this years ago, and she was doing it. She wanted a cup of coffee. She'd been off coffee for a while, and she drank regular coffee, not decaf. And she was going for something else to drink, and she said, I'm doing that subtle energy, and I'm getting to take the coffee. Well, she didn't one time when she got a migraine, and we didn't put it up together because she had really bad migraines.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it another time, and then she just went with what she was getting. And she said, you know, I thought I was getting a migraine early this morning. We got together in session, she said, but I didn't, so it must be better. Anyway, then she went to a doctor. Anyway, she ended up getting off the migraines and not having them anymore. But apparently there was something in the coffee. I guess it opens the, I don't know, what do you call it, the veins or whatever, capillaries, and
yes,
it stopped it. So her doctor actually prescribed her once or twice a week to have a cup of coffee.
Interesting.
Now, you might not think, oh, it's like, okay, that's not going to be healthy, and it kind of, but the subtle energy was telling her already, just have that darn coffee that you want. You don't have it that much. It's not a big deal.
Right.
And she probably gave herself a migraine judging herself for having the coffee. You know what I mean? It was like,
right.
And then the doctor goes and tells her, why don't you just have a couple coffees, you know, once a week or twice a week?
Right. No, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
Yeah. So
I
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well,
fantastic.
Julie, thanks for calling in. Great
Thank
to connect
you,
with
Michelle.
You.
Thank
Very
you.
Great to connect.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Great to connect with everyone. So good to hear everyone calling in and on air on this. Those of our international listeners, we wish you love. And those of our U.S. listeners, we wish you love and happy 4th of July. It's great to connect with everyone. And of course, and those that are connecting later will via iTunes or the archives. Now, we have with us 1245 on our awakened guest. This week we have Scott Killaby, who's reaching out to all people who are suffering or seeking or cannot seem to find fulfillment in this life, no matter what. Interesting. Scott Killaby is the author of Love's Quiet Revolution, The End of the Spiritual Search, Reflections of the One Life, which is Daily Pointers to Enlightenment, Living Realization, Your Present Experience as It Is, and Living Relationship, Finding Harmony with Others. And boy, is that ever poignant now. Hello, Scott. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Michelle. This is Scott.
Hi, Scott. Great to connect with you.
Yeah, great to connect. I'm glad you're having me here. I'm, just you're the only thing I'm doing today, so it's all about this show.
Me too. This is it. Awaken, and the rest is play. Well, this is play for me as well. Wonderful. I wanted to let's just dive in right here. I'm curious about two books. I was reading your Living Relationship, but I also want you, if you wouldn't mind, also touching on Living Realization, because it seems to me the two kind of go together. You know, maybe one should read one book and then the next. Because it seems that living that realization can help harmonize your relationships.
Yeah, there. Living Realization is a book that I wrote just about helping people recognize basic awareness, just basic presence. You know, just the old saying, mm-hmm. living in the now, instead of in the past and the future, and not identifying so much with every single thing that arises, thoughts, the feeling, the sensations, instead of just being here and feeling as if life is already complete as it is, that deep acceptance of what is already naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So that book is all devoted to that. It's not really necessarily, although it definitely affects relationship in a good way, it's not really about that. It's more about someone's own journey, taking on the pointers in the book, again, resting in awareness throughout the day, really letting everything be as it is. It's a simple way of saying it. Now, we're often grasping at things that come through for something that we feel like is missing. And if we start to let everything be as it is, which means from an internal aspect, letting all thoughts, feelings be as they are instead of trying to constantly change them, we may find that what we're looking for is already here. It's just life itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's living realization.
Yeah, and then how did your awakening or opening happen, or succession of awakenings? So just share with our listeners a little bit of the beginning of your path and how you got to where you are presently.
You could say, well, I grew up as a seeker, but I didn't know it. I was a seeker of basically trying to gain pleasure and avoid pain, and that turned into a drug addiction at a very early age and lasted for about 20 years and got really, really bad at the end. And then I got clean in a 12-step program, which was extremely helpful, just, you know, getting me off the drugs, getting me in a support system. But what I found is that the seeker within me was like a wild animal, and that if you took the drugs away, it didn't take the seeker away. And so I had this insatiable desire for something other than what was here. I live with a constant sense that whatever's happening is not enough. And so that took me into spiritual seeking through different religions, positive thinking schemes, lots of different programs. And then I met the message of Eckhart Tolle, Adya Shanti, things like that, and I began to look at my experience differently. And then had, although at the beginning it was sort of gradual, kind of recognition of presence, there were also big experiences where lots of what I took myself to be fell away in like an instant. And so those experiences happened, which I have, I'll go into them if you want, but.
And I want to back up just a little bit. You said that the seeker, you know, kind of was very voracious and always, you know, kind of still seeking. Is it like a seeking satisfying, or how did you come? How would you term that or qualify that? And what do you do with that seeker energy?
Right, the seeker energy for me, I think for everybody it's a little bit different, but I would say we all have it to some degree. It's that feeling as if. It's a feeling as if this moment is not quite it. That feeling is like a sort of like a in a bodily sense, it's a kind of a restlessness. Like if you sit quietly, the body kind of wants to start to squirm. It's not quite comfortable just being here. But then for me, it was very mental also. So it was always like my mind was constantly busy. I think most people's minds are really busy. My mind was really busy, and it was always thinking in time, always thinking about, I've got to get to some other place. I've got to keep going. And what I found was through that awakening process is a large part of what I was doing was trying to avoid very uncomfortable feelings that were coming through having to do with the past, just that restless feeling. And when I stopped avoiding that feeling in myself, stopped trying to seek something else, those energies started to move through and then relax. And as we moved through and relaxed in the body, my mind began to quiet. And as my mind began to quiet, and it wasn't telling me anymore that there's something wrong here, there was a deep, unshakable peace that I recognized that was beyond the mind. It wasn't another belief system or a set of thoughts. It was just sort of naturally here as like our natural state. And that's when I began sharing the message, and that's how we, years later, get to this call.
and the mindful, was it through meditation or other forms of, I guess, spiritual practice?
Yeah, it started off just becoming aware that I am thinking, because oftentimes we're simply just thinking and kind of following whatever thought, you know, happens to be arising. So if a thought says, oh, I should go do that, I need to find this, I don't have that. There came a point, I remember the first time I became aware that I was thinking. And then I was able to look at a thought, and that was amazing to me that I could actually see a thought, and there was something here that was aware of thought, and I saw that that was something that I was seeing and not what I am. And when I saw the thought fell down and quieted, and then there weren't any thoughts for just a few seconds, which wasn't a big, it would seem like not a big deal, but in that few seconds I realized that all of the stuff that I had been dreaming up about my life being wrong and being wrong with myself and needing something else was a play of thoughts, and I rested there. So what I found is that in that rest that I could actually return there I could become aware of thinking. So that's what I did throughout the day, is I would just be aware of thinking. And then I would let thoughts come to rest more and more. And as I did that, that became more natural. That felt much more natural than thinking. So that just became my practice, and I would do it throughout the day, and I would just start to let feelings be there. I think as humans, a lot of times we're trying to get rid of how we feel through thinking.
So if I
feel uncomfortable here, or if I feel pain from the past, it's almost an automatic kind of judgment of it, unconscious. And then the mind is kind of seeking to find some way, maybe someone, partner, a new house, a new job, a new drug, something to take this away. So what I found is when I rested here, just taking a moment without trying to go to my mind, the energy in my body could just come up and then release itself. That's all that you needed to do, was just release itself. And then when it released itself, you know, again, the mind quiets. And then, so then I started, a big part of my path was no longer avoiding negative feelings. That was a monumental thing for me. No longer trying to get rid of negative stuff. So it could just come through, and it was faced. So lots of childhood stuff that I had been sort of suppressing and trying to move away from, and just general restlessness began to just be conscious in me. I could feel it, rest with it, let it be, and that quieted my mind even more. So that was basically my path. Now, I will tell you this, is that the living relationship...
And Scott, can you either bring your mouth closer to the mic, or raise your volume up? We've got some people in the chat, so it's hard to hear. And I'm turned up enough. Yeah, thank you. Go ahead. You will say this.
Better?
You're starting to say... Yes.
Yeah. The other part of my path was what we're here to probably talk about partly today, which is the living relationship inquiries, the living inquiries, which is that I, as part of my path, I came across some Buddhist schools that have not really been translated into plain English yet, but they're really rich, sophisticated school, one in particular. And I discovered this through my teacher, and it was amazing what that path had to say about our perception of reality and relationship. And I used that path, but then and it was very helpful for me, but when it came to trying to translate it in a more simple way, I had to translate it. I had to put it into a different form. So through that, I came up with these inquiries, these three inquiries for the Living Relationship book, which really, if you pare it down, they speak to one central thing about ourselves, which is the sense that we're broken, the sense that, like, what I call the deficiency story. It's like most people, if you talk to them in a moment of honesty, they'll say that ever since childhood or some point along the game, there's a feeling about oneself that they're not quite good enough, that they're not lovable, that they're not wanted, that there's something about them at the core that is weak or powerless or even unsafe, and that feeling about oneself has pain with it. And there's this, what we call the core wound, like it's something literally in the body. And that core wound, because it's so painful, and that identity is who we think we are at the core, it gets us really busy with seeking in relationship. So then we're looking for other people to sort of make us feel lovable. We're looking for situations to make us feel good enough. We're looking for jobs to make us feel secure and safe, money, safe. And that if we actually go to the root of that story and see if that is actually who we are, and we just call it finding it, see if you can actually find that self. What you find is that that's not actually who you are. You're not broken. You're not inadequate. You're not good enough. You're not that person. And in seeing through that, what happens is that your relationships start to harmonize. In other words, all the seeking towards other people and situations and the control and manipulation and doing things to get something back, and a lot of that just starts to quiet, and that just gives you that experience of presence. It's another way of getting that experience that there's nothing wrong with you, and life is as it is. It's perfectly perfect.
Yeah. Well, I find it interesting because the seeker, we had a new light in the chat, was saying how always seeking and not, you know, and questioning and not satisfying, not finding enough to satisfy. And I'm going to get your take on this, because the seeker is an archetype. I mean, it is a complex of energies. It's, you know, with beliefs and ideas to it. And that is, and some people have more of the seeker perhaps within them. There's stories on that, the prodigal, going all the way back to the prodigal son. Do you find, because I find we get in the seeker, archetype gets activated, and at some point there is some kind of satisfaction, and maybe briefly for some, and then sometimes you have more satisfaction, you know, or contentment, however you want to look. You're not seeking as much, you know, you're in whatever was you've created or co-created, or being in that present moment with what you have, and then all of a sudden it kind of wells up, whether you want to call it divine intervention, divine irritation, and then you're kind of seeking again, you're expanding out. Have you found on your path, and do you have the belief that this, at some point, the seeking and finding, satisfying becomes no more, that you no longer are a seeker?
Yes.
Or you're only seeking within?
But, well, you're exactly. So what I think is, you know, going back to the non-dual tradition like Buddhism and Advaita Vedanta, what they're speaking of and what I'm speaking of is a seeing through of your identity. So if the identity is hooked up into the notion of being, first of all, separate, like I'm a separate person, that visceral sense, that mental sense of being separate. And then what I also say is just that feeling of deficiency, the feeling that you have or the sense that you have that there's something wrong with you. But that's actually something that you can see through. Like, and you actually see that's not actually what you are, and that it's not intellectual. So you don't come to a conclusion intellectually that there's no self there, or that may be the first step of it, but it's actually a recognition, a realization that quiets the mind and actually opens up the body to where the body feels transparent and the feeling of separation is not there anymore. So the literal sense of non-separation, the sense that you feel at one with life, you don't feel physically separate anymore. And so when that relaxes, when that's seen through, what we find here is the satisfaction. We find a satisfaction that's not conditioned on getting new things or seeking and finding things. It's not about finding. It's about seeing through that mechanism. And so it automatically brings this sense of, again, deep peace, like a peace that the mind can't know. And then even an open-heartedness, if you take it deep enough, a sense that a sense of not even connection with everything, a non-separation. So a feeling as if there aren't any division here. You're not something separate. And so that's what, and I feel like through my work with people that you can go however deep you want to. Some people will just continue seeking and they'll find some satisfaction and the seeking will wind down and just that movement will wind down more and more, and that's fine. And there's some people who take it very deeply and actually see through who they think they are. It's that, that seeing through is where that deep sense that all is already as it is, all is perfect as it is, that reality, however it shows up, is exactly as it is. And so that movement to grasp and change and seek is actually quieted.
I would say my experience has been, and this happened years ago, it was Gangaji, and someone was talking about, oh, you're a seeker, come here. And I said, no, I said, I moved from seeking to finding to experience to being. I think there is that you seek, you find, and then at some point there can be, you know, a shift to just being. And in a way it's perhaps, you know, experiencing whatever you're experiencing, but somehow it's not outside you. It's perhaps a part of you, an aspect of you. You know, there's that seamlessness, if you will. Scott, you talk about something in your book that I wanted you to, if you could go into a little bit here, the undefinable.
No, the unfindable.
And this undefinable, yeah, in this.
No, I'm sorry. It's unfindable.
Go ahead. Unfindable, the unfindable. And you go into this inquiry, I guess this process of inquiry. Can you touch on that a bit?
Through the years, I've been doing just thousands of private sessions. It's what I do every day. And what I found is that, you know, a lot of the people that come to me are seeking awakening. They're that kind of seeker. They're actually consciously seeking awakening into what you say being. Mm-hmm. And then I also got, I started sessions with people who were just addicted to different things. You know, I heard mm-hmm. you talk about coffee, drugs, alcohol, shopping, gambling, all that stuff. And then also a third group of people who just had self-esteem issues. They just had issues about who they were, you know, about how they were perceived. But when I looked at all of those, what I found was, for the most part, they all have the same issue, which is they have a belief about themselves, about how they exist. And it's the feeling mm-hmm. of separation. It's mm-hmm. the feeling of separation. And then on top of that is a feeling that, you know, not only am I this separate person, but I'm also not good enough. Mm. Or not only am I separate, but I feel like I've been abandoned. So it's always some deficiency. So mm-hmm. when I just started to hone in on the deficiency, what I would do with people, instead of trying to tell them how they could find awakening, I would just say, let's look at and see if we can actually find that person who's not good enough. So I would just actually start taking them through the thoughts. So they would come up and they would say, well, I have this thought about if I can just get to this one place in the future, then I'll be good enough. So I would have them look at that picture, and then I would say, or some words that they're telling themselves, you know, from the past, like it could be anything, but just literally words. And I would have them sit quietly and just look at the picture or look at the words, and I would say, is that the person who's not good enough, that mental picture person, or are those words that you're looking at right now, is that person here not good enough? And what I found is that every time they said yes, there was some emotion mm-hmm. in the body or sensation in the body that they weren't conscious of. And so it mm-hmm. was normally an uncomfortable feeling. It was like, could be like sadness or fear or pain. And I just took them into the body and I said, do you see that energy? I don't mean think about it, but can you sit quietly with that feeling? And then as they would sit there and the energy would just resonate there in the space, I would say, is that energy the person that's not good enough? And mm-hmm. as they would sit with these things, they couldn't find it. Like every time they would say, no, that picture is not it. And then that picture would fall away. And then they would say, that feeling is not it. It's like, it's something else. And so then we would go to something else. And I would take them through the words and pictures and feelings that make up that story. I'm a person who's not good enough, or I'm a person who's unlovable. And at the end of the session, they couldn't find it. So they would just sit there in sort of spaciousness, like present, looking within their interior experience, and they literally could not find that person. And as soon as they had that recognition, I would say, how important is it for you to seek now? And they would say, well, it doesn't make any sense, actually. Is it? Mm-hmm. Because I was only seeking because I thought I was someone who was not good enough, and I was seeking to be good enough. Or I thought I was someone who was unlovable, and I was seeking love. And so when they went straight to the core story and then couldn't find it, it uprooted things. And so then that became a tool that I gave them so that they could use it in their own life, basically. Mm-hmm.
Now, in your estimation, what is or where does anxiety come from? You talk about this a bit in your book.
I mean, I guess you could say the first thing is that fear can be a healthy thing in terms of our survival. I mean, we had to be afraid of certain situations. We had that anxious impulse to get out of the way of a car or to run from somebody trying to kill you. But then what I found is that anxiety, once there's that identity happening from childhood, like the feeling of separation and then the feeling of deficiency, it's almost like it often comes with the feeling of just not being safe in the world. Not safe in terms of like I have to get away from the gun or the car, but like just the feeling that I'm not safe, like the psychological sense of not being safe around other people, with my future, just literally in the world. So it went from the basic survival mechanism into a psychological sense of self. And so then with the identity of not feeling safe or whatever, or whatever identity is there in the thought, the person became unconscious of the actual energy of anxiety. So where it comes from, I won't say where it comes from so much as how can we heal through it. And the way to heal through it, I find, is to show them that they're not actually who they think they are, first of all, if they're ready for that. Because who they think they are is like a script that was carried over from the memories of childhood and life. And they took themselves to be those thoughts. And then when they see that they're not those thoughts, it's then just to actually be with anxiety directly without thoughts. And what I find with people is then where it comes from is not so important as now I'm healing through it. So they're sitting with anxiety without thoughts, and they come to find out that it's energy. You know, it's energy.
Yeah.
And they just rest with it. And as they rest with it, that energy starts to release. And as it releases, you know, so does the identity that was attached to it, like the feeling of thinking of unsafe.
Yeah, and I think, too, I mean, I think people are different stages, you know, in this, but I do feel that more of the advanced clearing or the next step, I think, you know, you have to know your story to leave your story or edit it. You know, there are levels, but I do feel there is this kind of next level of just moving into the energy of what's happening, that it is, you know, it is just all energy and, you know, not identifying with it and literally letting it move through instead of fleeing from it or trying to, you know, suppress it, if you will, which on a societal level, right, we've been that's taught to do that. You know, it doesn't work very well. You know, we did have in the chat a comment about, I want to see if you could address this a bit, Scott, about Susie Pink is saying, I've always had this sense of cognitive dissonance. Things are real and then they aren't. Like you are a part of the world, but you aren't. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think people start to come to that. It's what I call the middle way. That it actually can become part of one's realization that the world is illusory. Like your identity is illusory. It's a set of temporary thoughts and feelings. And when we identify with them, we think, I am this person. Like, I am this whatever. I'm the CEO. I am whoever I think I am. And then it looks like everybody else is, and everything else is exactly what I think that they are. And that's because we're leading with our thoughts only. We're believing every single thought that comes up. So when people are in that place where they're believing every single thought, the world starts to look very real. And the world looks very real. You know, they're separate people. They all have a role. They all have a fixed identity. Everything is complete. Even physical objects are separate. But there's also that feeling that people get underneath that that's not actually the case, that it's almost like a code. And if you started to see through it, you would see that there's an unreality to it. And so with the non-dual stuff, what we're doing is just showing people how to see through that. And so they can come to the sense that, yes, it is actually an illusion. Then what we say is, if you really see through that, there's a real freedom there, a liberation there, a surrender, a peace, even joy. That's definitely there. And then you don't actually have to, at that point, reject the world. It becomes like almost like a mirage. And but you play in it. You still create. You still, you know, you still do things. You still move and act and get married or whatever you do. But there's a sense of unreality to it. So I imagine she's just speaking to that sense that people get in their life when it's almost like being in a movie and all your life you just think this is real. Everything is real. But there's a sense about it like that's not actually the case. You know, there's something that it's like I know this isn't how it appears, but I don't know how to see through it. I can't see through it completely.
And Scott, what would help, because they're talking in the chat about can be disorientating. What can help, you know, being in that middle way, you know, to say, you know, in the world but not of it. What helps with that, which can come with it, a sense of disorientation or feeling of disorientation?
Well, I think, you know, speaking from just the non-dual perspective, the dissonance comes from still believing that it's real, still believing in separation. I think you have to move deeper in to see you're not who you think you are, because that's what relieves the dissonance. There's this unshakable peace here, you know, in the recognition of that. And so that peace is so, it goes to the core of your being. I mean, it just transforms everything about your experience. And then I think the middle way starts to show up as you just see this is a play. It's like a play, and then you're in the play, but you're in it, I kind of say, like a wink and a nudge. It's like at any moment you could just wink to anyone and say, this isn't, you know, like this isn't real. It's that feeling about it. I think what trips people up is that you said it earlier when you were talking to the caller, when you talked about how our emotions play such a role in it. And I think that's dead on. And so from this non-dual way of speaking, what I would say is that if we're not conscious of our feelings directly, they tend to run the show. So so it makes me believe my thoughts. I was at a talk in Texas, and one of the men in the audience said, you know, I believe my thoughts, but when I'm really angry, I really believe my thoughts. And so that, so that what he's speaking of is how emotions play such a big part in what we think is real and cause us a lot of the afflictive states and stuff. So what I do is I get people, if they're ready, just to be able to rest with those feelings in the space of presence, just to really rest and let the energy be there. And as it does, the thoughts start seeming not so true. They don't seem as true, and they can even start coming to rest. And as they come to rest, that's when you start seeing through who you think you are, and you start letting these emotions relax. And then I think the middle way is just a matter of kind of tuning into the reality and in the unreality of life, but actually enjoying it and playing with it now, because it's hard to play in it. It's hard to create when you're taking everything so seriously about yourself and other people. It's completely, really, it's hard to play, and it's often a struggle for people. So many people call you because of the struggle. They're calling you. They're looking for guidance because life feels like a struggle a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's complex, but need not be complicated. You know, I think too also, Scott. But there is there has been, and perhaps more fringe, a paradigm shift that is getting more prevalent or becoming more mainstream. And I think a lot of people, the awakening, the questioning, the awakening is, you know, in a way, what is this life really about? I think a lot of it has to do with education. I don't know so much. I think for some people it is struggle, but I feel like there is a group of people now that it's more the education they got in the past isn't working.
Yeah.
You know, the how to, right? The manual, the how to live and what's important isn't working. So there's all this stripping down. And so how do you do this? You know, and I so agree with you. I think one of the things that is so overlooked and so many people don't want to do, but you have to do the inquiry. You have to watch and be with that energy in motion, with the feelings, with what's happening. And I think you talk about also in the book the acceptance of, you know, what is, you know, what is, what are you experiencing, what's going on. And I think, do you have any thought of that? I think people want something else, that there's a magic something or somebody else do it for them, but it still comes back to us, doesn't it?
And there are many ways to talk about it. The one that's coming up for me now is the people that are using the old how-to manuals or even that feel like life is a struggle, what they're trying to do is they're trying to bring about something. So trying to create something to get to some place. And a lot of it's just unconscious. I mean, we're not really consciously doing it. We're all just given this set of goods, this how-to, this education, and so we're working within that consciousness. What I started to do was just stop and ask people, okay, so let's imagine that you get exactly what you're trying to get through this how-to movement, this movement struggle. What happens when you get that? And, you know, mm-hmm. first of all, they don't always ask themselves that question. So they might say at first, like, well, if I have the new house, then, if I get the new job, then people will like me. Then I'll say, well, okay, if you get that, people like you, you get that house, what do you really, really get? And finally they come down to just like a, I just get to relax. Mm-hmm. I just get to enjoy. I get to be here without, it's like so that they're looking for not having to chase the thing anymore or not having to figure out the how-to. And that's what presence is. And that's where, when in presence, when that recognition begins to dawn on you, life is happening on its own. And you're just, you're in it in a different way. You're not trying to get somewhere because in presence there's a recognition of that ah already. That ah that you're looking for is already here. So you're not trying to get it. Therefore, you move in the world differently then. You're not chasing the ah, the relaxation. Relaxation is already here. And then you're moving from within that. You're moving within the presence and then creating from that. And that little switch seems to be important for people.
Mm. That little switch. What did you say? Could you say that again? The little...
Yeah, the switch from the consciousness to seeking something. And then the reason that it's being sought is so that they can, when they get the thing, or they can relax. And now I can just, I'm okay mm-hmm. now. So the switch is realizing you're already okay right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what presence is. You're already okay. What the deepest thing you've been seeking is already here. That's already here.
Mm.
And now, so that's the switch. And so then now you can move in the world without chasing the ah, because you are the ah. You are that relaxation moving in the world, like a presence moving in the world. Instead of, I got to get there. You see what I'm saying? As soon as I get there, then everything will be okay. That's that switch.
Yeah, I like that. That's, and I do feel, you know, a lot of the outer changes that are happening for people, it's pointing them. For some, it's nudging. Some, it's pushing into that, I am okay no matter where I am or what I'm doing or what's going on. I am okay, you know, like kind of, I'm not my bank account. I'm not having a relationship or not having a relationship doesn't define, you know, I am okay. I am, you know, meant to be here, you know, kind of this redirecting, if you will, is, I think, happening on a deeper level for many people, you know, or more consistent level, you know.
Yeah.
Now, one thing, Scott, you have various groups and series. Can you talk a little bit about that? Is it like support groups? Are they online? I know that one of them was focused on relationship, living realization meetings, and then you have also living relationship as well.
Yeah, the living realization meetings are just about the recognition of a basic awareness, just presence, and just recognizing that in every moment of your life that there's an aspect of your experience that's already aware and already at rest. And it's just the overlooking of that part of your experience that creates the struggle, the seeking, the suffering, whatever it is. And so the living realization are online meetings where we use the book and I just instruct and help people with just that basic recognition of awareness. And those beings meet... Oh, every 3 months or so, we meet and have a series of meetings. And then the living relationship stuff is all about this inquiry about the person who's not good and the person who's deficient, the person who's not there yet, and seeing through that. And then how that affects all of your relationships, not just relationships with people, but jobs, with drugs, with objects, everything. And so those are a series that we do every few months or so. And then an offshoot of that is that I then train people to be facilitators in this work. So we're doing three-month-long series where it's a pretty intensive course where people learn to work these inquiries into their life to find the deepening themselves in relationship. And then they become facilitators if they follow the whole course. They can actually go out and call themselves facilitators of living inquiries and then work with other people. And so there's a lot of that going on now, too. So three things really online.
It seems. I mean, that I think the inquiry, you know, contemplation, the foundational tools are so, so important. One of the things I like too, you know, looking at some of your materials that you speak of, it's you're not helping people escape. You're actually asking them to focus on their content of their lives or what they're really going through or what their lives really look like or feel like to them. You know, it's
yeah.
not really, you know, it's getting out of something, but it's dealing with what you have in the present moment, what is going on.
Yes. And the main reason, it's not escape. What I found is that a lot of, we're already, in a sense, trying to escape. In other words, if the present moment feels a certain way, if we feel uncomfortable, if there's pain there, if there's fear there, the mind is often already trying to escape, trying to get into some other situation or moment where all of that will be gone. So what we do is we take people through that. So we get them to sit with pain and let it just release itself and to let the thoughts come and go without identifying with them. And so then we would actually take their story. We would start with their story of being inadequate or something. And we, instead of trying to bypass that, we would say, let's first of all see if we can find that. Let's see if we can find the person who's inadequate. And through that inquiry, what they do is they meet their pain. They don't try to escape it. They meet it directly. And although it's scary at first, when they're resting there as being and then letting the emotion come through, it's exhilaratingly freeing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they realize that their whole life was about trying not to feel that. That
yes,
underlying
yes.
feeling of uncomfortableness. Yeah.
Yeah. And New Light in the chat is saying, this topic is so timely for me. Yes. And we did have some people in the chat wanting to get on air. If you do want to get on air, the number is 347-539-5122. And you do need to press 1 on the keypad to get in the queue to ask our question. Our guest is Scott Killaby. We're talking about living realization and living relationship. And you can reach him at livingrealization.org or killaby.com. Wonderful, tools to have in the toolkit or toolbox, so to speak. You know, it's one people are skipping, but a lot of people are coming back to. I know people I work with, I go, you've got to do this. You've got to integrate this. You know, that it just can't be done externally. I think the external things, whether books or courses or classes, you know, et cetera, DVD, even coaching or mentoring helps, but eventually you have to follow your own path of inquiry.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
It's but that you're getting it more out there, I really kudos to you, Scott, because, you know, the more that people hear that, the more, you know, they'll end up there anyway. We all end up
right.
there anyway saying, okay, let me do it now, you know.
Yeah, right.
The quick fixes didn't work, so.
Right.
I'll go back to the. Yeah, go back. Scott, it's been a delight. Thank you for taking the time out of this holiday to spend some time with us. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you on the program. Thank you so much, Scott.
Okay, take care.
You too. And, of course, that was Scott Killaby. And I just got a correction in the chat room, the Sacred Space of Empowerment room, that it's livingrealization.org. Okay, so everybody knowing not .com, livingrealization.org. Thank you, New Light. And it's killaby.com. So for further information on Scott's work, his books, especially his most recent book, Living Relationship, you can go to livingrealization.org or killaby.com. It's great to have all of you here today. It was great. Thanks for spending this wonderful Wednesday with us. And those of you listening later on the archives and iTunes, and of course those that are also listening live via Cosmic Dimensions, we all say hello and appreciate your listening and participation. You are what makes Awakenings. Again, if you'd like to email me with where and how you listen to Awakenings, the email is awakenings@selfandlight.com. If you have questions, comments that you would like answered on air, or guest suggestions, the email is awakenings@selfandlight.com, and the producers will take a look at it and point you in the right direction. Also for the Solar News or Solar Newsletter, you also can email awakenings@selfandlight.com. So remember, you are the light you seek, and continue to share that light, share your insights, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.